This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Femi Abebefe, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome back. It is our number two of the Lombardi Line here on the DraftKings Network. You can check us out over on Roku, Zumo Play, Samsung TV, all sorts of stuff here. Femi Abebefe in downtown Las Vegas, Michael Lombardi in the great state of New Jersey. Fun first hour. We got a fun second hour on deck as well. 30 minutes from now, Matt Eumanns will be joining us to give out his NFL card here for week 14. Always fun to chat with our buddy Matt Eumanns. And then at 11:45 Eastern time, 8:45 Pacific, Jonathan Von Tobel, our VSiN senior NBA analyst, will give us his thoughts on the in-season tournament championship game tonight between the Pacers and the Lakers. But let's begin hour number two, like we always do, Michael, with the Lombardi look ahead here. And not just one, it's a two for one special here. It's the holiday season, so we're getting a two for a couple of games that you're staying away from.
Well, I mean, look, you know, we haven't talked about it this week, this on this show. We have during the week. Weather is going to be a factor, right? We do know that. Now, on the Eastern Seaboard, the Baltimore Rams game is going to get heavy wind, gust, and rain. Now, that line has moved from 7 to 8 all of a sudden. For some reason, it's gone against the Rams. No one's on the Rams. They don't seem to like it. The Jet game, it's moved towards the Jets. It was 5.5, and all of a sudden, the Zach Wilson news comes in, and it's 3.5. I think it's going to close maybe at 3. Who knows? But those games along the Eastern Seaboard are going to have elements of rain and wind. And then there's the Chicago, Cincinnati, and Cleveland games where there's just going to be wind. And they could be gusts, especially in Chicago. So for me, where I started my handicapping was, like, it's hard enough, especially when I was 0-3 last week against Russo, to pick winners. It's hard to pick winners and handicap weather within the framework of it. So what I try to do is just say, look, I'm not going down that road. I'm not going to go and try to handicap Zach Wilson's return along with the wind, the rain, the weather, what's going to happen. Is it going to rain the first half, not in the second half, all that stuff. So for me, I basically said I'm not playing any of the Eastern Seaboard games because it's too risky. You just can't control the elements. And even though we all think we know the weather, I said, look, I'm out on the Texans and the Jets. There's no way I'm going to play that one. And I'm not going to play the Ravens or the Rams.
Yeah, I think those are games that if you want to play those, maybe wait till game day when we see the pregame reports and get a solid look on what the weather is doing there. But Rams at Ravens, Texans at the Jets are the two Hall & Oates plays of week 14. No, can do. I love it. I still love the graphic that we have there with the John Oates and Daryl Hall separated.
Keep them separated. Yeah, because they're still in that fight. You know, when you go back and look at when you look at John Harbaugh coming off a bye, your instincts are he covers, right? Now he wins, but he typically doesn't cover. You know, he's not been able to. He's 0-3, I think, in the last three games coming off a bye. Last year, 13-3. He was, I think, a 11.5, 12-point favorite against the Panthers. Then they beat Minnesota in overtime, 34-31. He was a 4-point favorite in that game. And then he lost outright to Pittsburgh, 28-24, and he was a favorite in that game as well. So, you know, Lamar's very good straight up in these games. But now that we've gone to almost 8, I don't know how you touch it, even if there was no wind and was no weather. I really would be scared. And then you factor that in. What will Stafford look like? How will they handle all that? Those are concerns for me. I think the Rams have played really well since their bye week. They're healthier, and their defense has played well, and Stafford has played really well. With Williams running the football, they're a good team.
Yeah, I mean, like, I think the point that you brought up there about how Harbaugh has been able to win but not cover these games post bye, that's a good indicator that not only is this priced into the market, they're also making you pay a tax as well if you're playing the angle of Harbaugh's team off the bye because Harbaugh's a really good coach. So maybe the Ravens just win, but 7.5 is a pretty big number there. The total in both of those games that you mentioned with the weather being a factor here, they've gone down at least 4 points in both of them. Open 44.5 in Baltimore. Now we're down as low as 39.5. That's a 5-point move. And then in the Meadowlands, open 38.5. Now we're down to 33. There's even a 32.5 on the board as well here. So, like, obviously a lot of people playing the, hey, if there's going to be wind, if it's going to be rain, gusty, like, we're going to see kicking game is going to be ruined. Passing game is going to be ruined as well. And it's going to be a slop fest. So we'll see what happens. And usually those games, it's whichever way the ball bounces is kind of going to be how that game is decided. So I agree with you. Hall & Oates plays staying far, far away. All right, let's get to the games that are interesting, though. Your line of the week is a game near and dear to my heart. Sunday Night Football. Everyone will be glued to their TVs for this one. Eagles at the Cowboys. Dallas right now a 3.5-point favorite, but some signs that say that we might close three, Michael.
I think we will, but here's my view on this game. Is they put this 3.5 out there all week, trying to get people to take the 3.5. And, you know, Philly started out the week with, they had a low ticket count, 29% of the tickets, 67% of the money. Then it went to 31-66, 39-65. Today it was 43-63. So to me, when I looked at this 3.5, it seemed like they wanted you to take Philly in the 3.5. Like, they're willing to give you that half point win. Why would they be? Well, I think this is a game where you just pick the winner. I'm not sure the spread's going to matter in this game. I really am not. I don't think that half point, they want you to think it's going to matter, but I don't think Philly's going to lose 30-27, and you're happy you had that half point. I think Philly's either going to win 35-28 or Dallas is going to win 35-28. I just think, to me, this is where the game is. So I don't want to fall into that trap of that 3.5. Whereas the Detroit game, which is now 3 and was 3.5, I think the line matters in that game because A, weather, wind, the offense, you know, where's Goff playing in the bad cold, the weather, all those things. I think it does matter. But in this game, I just feel like just pick the winner. And I don't think the line's going to really matter because they would be moving this number. They would be moving this number if it did. They would go back to 3, or they're never going to give you 4, right? So I think, to me, I just look at it as just pick the winner here in the game and move on. Whereas we see the Buffalo Chief number. Now, it's all different houses, right? You know, Thomas Gable, all the places all over the country, they have some Buffalo money. DraftKings may not have Buffalo money. So it's all different. And, you know, and yet that number's coming to Buffalo quickly.
Yeah. It's interesting. From the on-field standpoint with the Eagles and Cowboys, do you see this just because of, like, red zone efficiency or the way that these two defenses might struggle? Is that why you think that it's either, if Philly covers, they're probably just going to win, and Dallas could win this by more than the 3.5 that the market is indicating? Like, where do you think from an on-field standpoint that factors into this thing?
Well, I think now we're getting to the meat and bones of the game, right? So the last time they played, the Eagles scored, you know, the Eagles dominated the game until the fourth quarter when they couldn't get a first down. But before the fourth quarter, Hurts got his knee kind of wrapped in a big pile, and it wasn't the same. Dallas had trouble blocking them. When you go back and watch the game, Steele really had trouble with Riddick. They moved the football, but Dak moved the ball with his feet quite a bit. He had to get out of some trouble. And when it's 1st and 5 from the 6 with a chance to win the game, they held the ball, Steele broke down. To me, Philly, 29 of their 32 sacks comes from the defensive line. They're not going to be able to cover, but they've got to be able to put pressure on this Cowboy offensive line, which I don't think played as well in the first game as they're going to need to play in the second game. And conversely, Philly did play well. I mean, they moved the ball up and down the field until the fourth quarter. Had 28 points going in the fourth quarter. The minute left to go in the third quarter, they've got 28 and don't score again nor get a first down. So I think Philly will move the football. I think Dallas will move the ball. I think it's going to come down to, as you mentioned, red zone. It's going to come really down to pressure. Which defensive front creates the turnover? That, to me, is going to be the essence of the game. If you like Philly, you're counting on Sweat. You're counting on Riddick. You know, you're counting on those inside guys. Philly got 70 sacks last year, 60 from their defensive line. This is a completely different scenario this year. They have 29 from their defensive line. So they're going to really need to play well up front.
Yeah, I'm curious to see how this thing starts because we've talked about the last 5 weeks, the Eagles have been trailing at halftime. Maybe that's why those sack numbers are down for those D linemen guys, because like you always said, last year, elite second quarter team. By the time they go in the locker room, the other team's playing from behind. They have to drop back and pass, and those guys were able to kind of tee off and go after the quarterback. This year hasn't been quite as much since the Eagles have been playing from behind, but still winning a majority of those games from playing from behind.
Yeah, and I think something that we need to talk about a little bit too is the Eagles' run defense, right? So when you watch Philly early in the year, nobody was able to get very many yards on them at all, okay? That was very tough. You know, in the first nine games of the season, the Eagles have allowed 591 yards rushing, 65.66 per game. The last three games, they've allowed 162 yards rushing, 487. The last three games, they've allowed 487 alone.
Wow.
Okay. And 100, that averages out to 162.3. So teams have been able to get control of this offense and playing from in front. When you're playing from in front and you can run the ball against your opponent, you should win the game. Now, we know they were fortunate to beat the Chiefs. We know they were very fortunate to beat Buffalo, but they won those games. But that's a recipe for a disaster. Whereas Dallas couldn't run the ball in the last game. They gained 406 yards. 333 came from the air. But if the Eagles' run defense doesn't improve and Dallas can get balanced with their attack, A, they'll control the ball longer, which they did in the first game, and B, they'll be able to win in those red zone situations, and it'll tire out the front in the passing game.
All ties together here. Fact or fiction, Michael, the losing quarterback of this game will be eliminated from MVP discussions.
Well, I don't think Hurts will. He'll still be because his team will be good. His team will potentially have the first. I think Dak will. I think Dak will, because I think everybody's looking for excuse to say Dak doesn't play well in big games. I mean, that's all we're going to hear about. We're going to get if Dallas loses, we'll get the Stephen A. Smith laugh on Instagram. You know, it goes right into the profile. It's like, yeah, it's always Dak's fault.
Guys played pretty well this year, I must admit, there for Dak Prescott. Hopefully he plays well when everyone's watching, because like you said, if he doesn't, it's going to be, who'd you beat? Turns into a college football discussion or something. All right, we'll take a look at the futures market when we come back here on the Lombardi Line.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Femi Abefefe, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
College bowl season is here, and VSiN has an early Christmas present for you. Not a VSiN Pro subscriber yet? Well, no problem. We're giving away this year's College Bowl betting guide to everyone. We have spreads, totals, expert picks from the Golic, Steve Mackinnon, and Brent Musburger for every single bowl game. Put a bow on this bowl season and get a free copy of our VSiN College Football Bowl betting guide absolutely free. Visit VSiN.com/bowl guide and get your free copy today. I mean, just that's an absolute gift for all of our audience, our listeners, our viewers. I mean, there's excellent stuff in there. They'll be tracking everything going on in the college football bowl landscape. This is the Lombardi Line, hanging out with you guys on the DraftKings Network. Femi Abefefe here in downtown Las Vegas. Michael Lombardi out in the great state of New Jersey. Michael, before we get into the futures market, we got to talk about the situation for the Jacksonville Jaguars as they're getting set to take on Cleveland tomorrow in Northeast Ohio. The Browns right now, consensus number 3, even money, but DraftKings has the Browns a 2.5-point favorite, total 33. The big news with that game, of course, the status of quarterback Trevor Lawrence, who suffered an ankle injury. Earlier they said high ankle, but maybe it's a low ankle. But he practiced on Thursday and Friday, being called the game time decision. But Michael, we just got the news that Jacksonville signed Nathan Rourke to the active roster, their quarterback. So is that maybe giving us an indication as to what might happen tomorrow, or is that just kind of a procedural just in case of?
Well, CJ Beathard's hurt too, Femi. I think they need three. Both quarterbacks that they have are hurt or injured. And there's a good possibility if they do play Lawrence, which I think they will. I really do. He wouldn't be out there on Wednesday and Thursday if he wasn't playing. Like, what's the sense of putting him out there, you know, if he wasn't, you know, trying to work through it? And again, we label it a high ankle, but it wasn't. I mean, clearly, if it was, it would not have been like this. So I think they need to, only because of C.J. Beathard was hurt. I think it has more to do with C.J. Beathard than it does with Trevor Lawrence.
Then maybe Nathan Rourke might be the QB2, perhaps, for the Jacksonville Jaguars in this game here.
He might have to be, or they're just going to keep all three up and just basically keep them within, and so they could go back and forth. I mean, if they don't designate one as the third and they keep them as one of their 45, they can make moves around all they want.
So with that news and like us thinking that it's likely going to be Trevor Lawrence playing in this game because he wouldn't have been out there on Thursday and Friday for practice, do you bet Jacksonville? Because you can get, you can still get a three. You can get him at plus money on the money line here. Or is it just the fact that he's so banged up, is that going to kind of keep you away from this game?
Well, you know, I've said it earlier. I was kept away from it because of the weather and the uncertainty that goes into the game. But let's break it down for a second why I think it's a no play for me and perhaps for someone else is the Jacksonville Jaguars, when healthy, Trevor Lawrence is good on the road. I mean, they are very good on the road. Averages well over a yard per attempt, more passing than he does at home. Wind's going to be a factor. Gust of up to 20 mile, no rain. But, you know, this could change in Cleveland weather. I've lived it, so it could easily change. The Browns are a different team defensively at home than they are on the road. So it's strength meeting strength. Really good defense, really good offense playing in their best environment. Ward could be back. There's their best corner in Cleveland, which they're going to need. Last week, they could not put any pressure. Jacksonville has injuries in their offensive line. That's going to be an issue for them. So who's playing quarterback for Cleveland?
Yeah.
I felt like Flacco gave them the best game that they've had, really, since they signed Deshaun Watson, since Jacoby Brissett left, actually, to be honest with you. You know, I thought he played well enough. People said, you can't bet Flacco. Well, in that game, he wasn't the reason they lost. The reason they lost is because they couldn't stop him. So I think, to me, that's the issue. And there's so many things. I just went through 5, 6, 7 of them, right?
Yep.
And so since there's so many of those, I don't see how you – for me, it's a no play. That's why I made it as I started the week off saying I have no interest in playing these games because of it. So I'll just keep staying that way.
Who do you think the Browns go with? Do you think they're going to go with Flacco or DTR?
I think they go with Flacco. I mean, unless there's a real strong feeling within that locker room that Dorian Thompson-Robinson can be the guy. I just think they go with what Flacco coming in off the bench, coughing twice, going out there. I mean, look, he played well. First drive of the game went right down the field. Look, Stefanski called more runs than I've ever seen him call. I mean, more passes than I've seen him call. Like, he was determined to get that passing game going.
Yeah, no, I thought the passing game was pretty, it was at least more lively than what we'd seen in the past for the Cleveland Browns. Flacco was throwing the ball down the field, wasn't afraid to kind of throw it there. Defensively is where the problems lie for Cleveland, especially with the status of Myles Garrett. He's going to play, but I mean, last week he didn't register on the box score. He didn't have a tackle, didn't have a QB hit, nothing, because, I mean, clearly he's compromised by the shoulder injury that he suffered against the Denver Broncos. But now when we take a look at the AFC playoff picture, Jacksonville right now is the 4 seed sitting at 8-4. Your one seed is the Miami Dolphins. They play the Baltimore Ravens. I believe it's week 17 they go to Baltimore. So that'll be a fun game there. That has to do with a lot of seeding. The Ravens right now are the 2. Kansas City is the 3. Your wild cards are the Cleveland Browns right now sitting at 5. The Colts at 6 at 7-5. Then you have the Houston Texans, the 7 seed there. I mean, I look at this landscape. I'm like, man, we could have the potential of a lot of backup quarterbacks in the playoffs. Hopefully that's not the case here. But when you look at the AFC playoff picture, I thought you brought up a great point when we discussed Pittsburgh about, hey, don't just pencil in wins. Like we still need to see these teams do some things. Who do you think has the best chance on the outside looking in that might be able to get into this wild card race? And how do you kind of stack up these division leaders as well when you look at the futures market?
Well, I think Buffalo has the best chance. I mean, because I think they have the best quarterback. So I'm going to go back to that. I'm going to go back to the best quarterback, which gives you the best chance. You know, and they've got to play. They've got 2 tough games, and then they still have to play Miami down in Miami. And it may not mean anything when they get down there to play Miami. So I still like them to come through there. I think you still have to go through if we put that graphic back up, I think you have to go back to what teams have the most complete team that can play comp. Look, they're not perfect, right? I think the Bills, I think the Broncos, big game here, Denver. Denver turned the ball over 16 times during their winning streak, 15 during the last 4 games. So they've got to be able to turn the ball over. Again, we're going to eliminate one of those teams. Chargers, Broncos play this week. I don't see the Raiders being good enough to do it, especially with Crosby's injury and Colton Miller's injury. I think that's 2 issues. They need both those guys to play well. You know, the Steelers with Mitchell Trubisky, I don't see how you can get behind them. I think the Colts are really in prime position. If they can improve defensively, they have done a nice job of finding ways to win with Gardner Minshew, particularly considering when the opponents score more than 20 points, Minshew usually doesn't win. But last week, he's on a 2-game heater of winning when the opponents score over 20 points.
Yeah, I mean, like, can't say enough about the job Shane Steichen has done there. Coach McConnell, we had him on the first hour there. He thinks that Shane Steichen should be the coach of the year, as the least up until this point in week 14. But I think here, when you look at the one seed, because you can bet on who can be the number one seed. Miami is the favorite at plus 175. Baltimore's plus 225. The Chiefs plus 300. Jacksonville plus 750. I kind of, honestly, Michael, I'd advocate for a bet on Baltimore at plus 225. They host Miami in that game week 17. And the Ravens do have a tough game at the Niners. But if Kansas City loses on Sunday, which may be more likely than the market thinks here, to where maybe it's Baltimore that just needs to win a game at home against Miami to go ahead and get that one seed and has the tiebreaker for this AFC playoff picture.
Well, it'll be the only Miami road game that we have for the next 5 weeks. Think about it. Miami doesn't have to leave South Florida. They got three straight. And what we've seen from Miami is they don't lose to bad teams. They stubbed their toe against the Raiders and didn't cover. But for the most part, they're a covering machine no matter where you set the number. That's why so many people are on Miami this week. So I just think, to me, you know, they're hard. They're a hard team to figure. Now, they got Dallas coming to play, and they've got to play Baltimore. That are the two toughest games they have. Plus, they have Buffalo in the last week of the season. You know, so I think that becomes, and the Jets, right? So they have the Titans, the Jets, the Cowboys home, Ravens on the road, and the Bills. So the last three are tough. They could easily lose all three, but typically this team, the way they're playing defensively, is so good, I find it hard to believe they could lose.
Yeah, that Bills game, it might not mean the division, but I think that's going to be a meaningful game to where it could be Buffalo has to win that to get into the playoffs.
Yeah, I think so.
Like, that's going to be one that's, maybe put that on Sunday Night Football Week 18. That'd be a hell of a game down there in South Beach here. Real quick on the NFC side here, the one seed odds, Eagles are the favorites, minus 135, Niners plus 165, Lions 11-1, Cowboys 13-1. If the market is right and Dallas beats Philly, I mean, how is plus 165 on the Niners not a good bet?
Yeah, I don't, you know, the Niners, I think more than home field for the Niners is health. I think more than home field is health. Look, you know, they're playing Seattle this week. So that line went from 10.5 up to 13 now, maybe even 13 in the markets. Yep. I think they got to be concerned, because when they have their team, they're tough to beat. So when do they pull off? And if, you know, if they have to pull off late, because they can't quite catch Philly because they're that one game behind them or two games behind them, then I think it becomes a problem. I don't see San Francisco stubbing their toe in terms of not winning games, but I do think that they have to be really concerned about the health of their team.
Yeah, it's more so health than home field is kind of the big thing for the 49ers. And for the Seahawks, Geno Smith is questionable. That's why we've seen that line go from 13.5. Suffered a groin injury Thursday at practice. That's something to keep an eye on with the game between the Seahawks and the Niners. Matt Youmans joins us next to give out his NFL card here on the Lombardi Line.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Femi Abebefe, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
The most wonderful time of the year can also be the most stressful time of the year when it comes to finding the perfect gift for the ones who matter most. Well, fortunately, Omaha Steaks is the convenient and thoughtful gift that is guaranteed to delight every single person on your gift list every single time. All you got to do is go to omahasteaks.com, save 50% off site-wide, plus when you use the promo code VSiN at checkout, get an additional $30 off your order, the best deal around. All you got to do is just go to omahasteaks.com, minimum order may be required. They got fillets, they got, you know, who knows, they got ribeyes, juicy burgers, everything you want for your red meat lovers in your family. This is the Lombardi Line on the DraftKings Network. Femi Abebefe alongside Michael Lombardi over there in the great state of New Jersey. A guy who likes Omaha Steaks, he's going to join us right now. Matt Youmans, host of VSiN Tonight, also the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast. Matt, we appreciate you taking the time, as always, each and every morning here. And before we get into who you like in the NFL, the Friday Football Invitational, it's starting to get down to the nitty-gritty here with 5 weeks less. Can you give us an update on what's going on, where the standings lie right now?
Yeah, first update is you made that sound so tantalizing. I might throw an Omaha steak on my George Foreman grill and eat it for breakfast. But I got to tell you, 5 weeks to go. We hit the stretch run. You know, it does seem like the football season flies by, but that's all we've got left in this contest. And Kenny White was in third place going into the week. But Kenny was traveling to New York overnight, said he slept all day. I don't know who needs that much sleep. I guess he's an old man, but Kenny blew the deadline by 4 hours, did not get his picks in. That's the first time it's happened in the 2 years of this contest. A contestant did not get the plays in. So he will go 0-0 with no points this week. And he's going to get jumped in the standings. He's going to be up against it. He's still got a chance to bounce back. He has a couple big weeks down the stretch. But Kenny did not turn in his plays. I'll tell you, the Chicago Bears, the most popular play this week.
Wow.
3.5-point dogs to the Lions. That might be bad news for the Bears, but I don't think the Lions have shown much here in the past few weeks either.
Yeah, I mean, they had shown that they can't stop anybody. Other than that, I mean, it's been, you know, and I think a lot of people are, a lot of the handicappers are probably playing the fact that perhaps that, you know, that the weather is going to affect golf more than anything, because we do have a lot of weather in these games. So it does seem like that everybody is on it, although the public is all over the Lions, Matt. It seems like they are all over the Lions.
That's a positive sign, then.
That's a good one.
You know, you watch the Lions in recent weeks. I think that Detroit defense has been on the decline. The pass rush hasn't been the same. If you look at the numbers, the Detroit pass rush has been among the worst in the league in the past few weeks. Hey, the Bears had a 12-point lead in Detroit with 4 minutes to go and blew the game. I actually think the Bears defense has shown some good signs, kind of trending in the right direction, though it's never easy to trust Matt Eberflus or Justin Fields. Jared Goff has made a lot of mistakes in recent games. In fact, last week on the first play of the game, he fumbled the snap. I was lucky that an offensive lineman jumped on it, but I just think the Bears are in a good spot here as 3.5-point dogs.
Speaking with Matt Youmans, host of VSiN Tonight, which you can check out Monday through Friday, 9 to midnight Eastern, also the host of the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast. Let's talk about spots. The Bills coming off of the bye, a lot of respect here in the market. They're catching one at Arrowhead, total sitting at 48.5. What do you like in this one?
Well, I initially did not intend to play the KC side here. And the Chiefs have the number 3 scoring defense in the league at 17.3 points a game, but Packers moved the ball pretty easily on them. Last week, and I was a little bit surprised by that. I think the Chiefs are a little bit beat up on both sides of the ball right now. Bills are playing better, but again, the Bills are 6-6. Six losses by 6 points or fewer, so they've found ways to lose close games. And what it came down to here was Chiefs rarely lose back-to-back games, and they're at such a cheap price. They were picking yesterday at Circa. I went ahead and played KC at that price.
Yeah, I mean, I think to me, you know, Kansas City doesn't lose two in a row typically, right? And they are playing against a team that we're not sure how good Buffalo is on defense. I mean, you know, we keep talking about, well, they have Von Miller. He hasn't made a play in forever. And, you know, can they slow anybody down? I mean, that's going to be the hard part is, can you think they can slow someone down? And I'm not sure they can. So I'm with you on that one, Matt. I don't understand where, you know, I think Buffalo, I think you're playing Josh Allen. And look, he could win the game for him. There's no question.
Yeah, you're right about that. And I think Femi will probably be on the props, over props on tight end Travis Kelce Swift.
Yeah. I haven't heard if she's going to be at the game yet, so we're still handicapping that. Still trying to track some flights to see if we can get Taylor Swift there to Arrowhead Stadium. Hasn't been a problem in the past, though. How about the AFC West showdown? Michael and I, we haven't been able to talk about this game so far today. Broncos at the Chargers. The market right now, not a whole lot of threes left out there. I see a couple on the board, but the consensus, Chargers 2.5-point favorites, total 44.
Not a big bet for me, but I did take the Broncos plus 3. A couple spots in Vegas had that. They've won 5 of the past 6. Took the Texans to the wire in Houston last week. Russell Wilson had some regression in that game, which is not too surprising. I think the Denver defense is in much better shape right now than the Chargers defense. Chargers were actually outgained by the Patriots last week in that 6-0 loss. I think it was 257 to 241. So I've not been too impressed by anything, any aspect of the Chargers play. And anytime Brandon Staley is a favorite, I'm looking to bet against him.
Yeah. I mean, I think there's pretty, that's a pretty sick, I think there's a lot of people going to join you there. I think a lot of people are going to join you on that one. How about the Raider game? I know you're on the Raiders, and I really was really thinking about Minnesota this week, because I think it's really hard to run on the Vikings run defense. I think it's really hard.
Right.
And the fact that Colton Miller may not play, I don't think that Max Crosby will be 100% for the rest of the year. And so I do think that they'll move the ball, but I kind of stayed away from it because of Josh Dobbs' fumble history and his and playing him on the road. But you like the Raiders. Tell me why.
Well, you know, you hit on a couple of points there. I'm not crazy about the Raiders because Colton Miller is out, and that's a big blow to the offensive line. Max Crosby's got that knee issue, and you're right, he's not going to be 100% for the rest of the season. I don't know if he's playing at 75% or what, but Max Crosby, I expect him to be on the field, and he's got to be out there to pressure Josh Dobbs, who's, for me, the key here is Dobbs just been mistake-riddled recently. He had that four-interception game against the Bears in Week 12, that 12-10 loss. He's had fumbling issues this season, and even though Justin Jefferson's back, and that's going to be a boost to the Minnesota offense, I don't trust Dobbs here laying three on the road. I thought the line was just a little bit inflated. I didn't think the Vikings deserved to be full three-point favorites, and you know, let's face it, Antonio Pierce does have the Raiders playing with a little bit more of a swagger, and they've been pretty good in all four games they've played, 2-2. I'm going to give them one shot here, even though I don't think Josh Jacobs and that rushing offense is going to do a whole lot of damage. It's going to be kind of on Aiden O'Connell, the rookie quarterback, to make some big plays with Davante Adams. But I took three. I thought that was a good number on the home dog.
Well, let's go to the Meadowlands. Texans right now, 3.5-point favorites against the Jets, total 33, as Zach Wilson makes his reluctant return to the starting lineup.
Well, the Texans are a beat-up team right now, and Tank Dell, the rookie receiver's out. And they, here's a, you know, and let's say in the betting world, when a team is an underdog a lot of times and overachieving like the Texans have been all season, and suddenly you make that team a road favorite, and the Texans laying more than a field goal on the road against a Jets team that's been written off by a lot of people, and I'm sure the public's going to be on the Texans today. I'm going to go ahead and take the contrarian side here. Zach Wilson's back. It wouldn't surprise me if he played really well because nobody expects that. And I'm just going to take an ugly dog here that I think the public doesn't want anything to do with.
I love it. I don't know if I could watch it. I don't know if I could watch it, Matt. I couldn't watch Zach
All
Wilson.
Notes.
I maybe, you know, and then the wind. You factor in the wind in this one, too? I mean, this is going to be a bad weather game here.
Yeah, maybe the under is what under might be a better bet than anything. But man, these totals are getting so low in some of these NFL games. We're seeing it in college football and the NFL. Now, when you're seeing a total around 30, you don't even blink and you can play under. But that might be something to consider as well.
Yeah, 82% of the bets at DraftKings are on the Houston Texans in this one. So you'll definitely be on Jets Island there, Matt. Real quick, we got about 45 seconds left here. Sunday Night Football, okay. Eagles at the Cowboys. Dallas right now laying 3.5, total 51.5.
Yeah, the I said last week I thought the 49ers were catching the Eagles at the right time. Philadelphia had been outgained in four consecutive games by an average of 109 yards per game. A little beat up on defense, and Jalen Hurts is not 100%. And I think the Cowboys are also catching the Eagles at the right time here. And the Cowboys have got to be fully focused to finally step up and beat a good team. They've been a bully beating bad teams, and they've been impressive. I'm not completely buying into the Cowboys, Femi and Michael, but I do think the Cowboys win the game. I played them on the money line, and I lean over the total of 51.5.
Yeah, I kind of, Matt, I think this is a game where the line's not going to matter. I just picked the winner here. That's my sense of it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, hopefully it's the Cowboys, Femi.
let's hope so. Let's hope so. Let's get that Dak Prescott talk going and all the hate that everyone's been giving his way here. But he is Matt Youmans, host of VSiN Tonight. You can check that out 9 to midnight Eastern each and every Monday through Friday. And also host of the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast. Matt, good luck with the bets and be well.
Okay. Thank you. You bet.
All right. Our VSiN senior NBA analyst, Jonathan Von Tobel, joins us next to break down the IST here on the Lombardi Line.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Femi Abebefe, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
In the NBA, the game can change in an instant, but no matter how the action unfolds, you know DraftKings Sportsbook has your back. This week, new customers can score 150 instantly in bonus bets just for betting $5 on basketball. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code VSiN. The crown is yours. Welcome back. This is the final segment of the Lombardi Line on the DraftKings Network. Femi Abebefe, Michael Lombardi out in the great state of New Jersey, and joining us in studio to help us break down the in-season tournament championship game later on tonight between the Pacers and the Lakers. It's VSiN's very own senior NBA analyst, host of the Hardwood Handicappers podcast, and also host of the show that follows us at the top of the hour, Live Bet Saturday with Pam Maldonado. It's the one and only Jonathan Von Tobel here on the Lombardi Line. JVT, how we doing, man? In-season tournament, a lot of buzz here in Vegas with the championship later on tonight.
I thought you guys were bringing me in to celebrate the fact that Shohei Ohtani was not on a plane to Toronto yesterday, and in fact, chilling in Southern California. I'm just holding waiting to hope. See. Man, I can't wait. So I got to go down there on Thursday. I'm going to go down there later today. From a local standpoint, from a support standpoint, from an intrigue standpoint, the NBA seems to have kind of hit this thing out of the park. The common thread when I talk to people, right, has been leading up throughout group play. You know, when I see those courts, I understand something's different, and I've stuck around and watched a little bit more. The competition level at the end of group play, especially that last Tuesday, heading into the quarterfinals, has been very, very good. And the games outside of the Pelicans, Lakers, snoozer, have been very, very good. And they have come down to the wire. They've been very competitive and very exciting. So I think that the NBA has got something here. And it's just like with the play-in game, right? A lot of people didn't like the play-in tournament. And then, of course, sure enough, I think I speak for a lot of people in saying that's a great addition and it's an awesome way to go from the regular season into the true postseason. And I think the NBA did something really well here with this thing.
Yeah, it seems like it, and everybody's enthused about it, and we've seen a star emerge in Haliburton. Talk to me about where you think his future is and how good this player can continue to become.
I think he's going to be one of the best players of his generation, Michael. I think it's really clear. The fact that he has had those three games, 25-plus points, 10 assists, no turnovers, and not only does he have those three, it only happened one time prior. Like, this is something that has been nuts to watch him. And I think that's also why it's a positive, Michael, for an event like this, because the Pacers, I'm going to go on a limb, they're not going to win the NBA Finals this year. Maybe they push a team in a first round if they get there, but this is such a good thing for a player and a team like this, because for a team, fan X who maybe just watches their team or watches primetime games, doesn't really pay attention. All of a sudden on Thursday, you found out who Tyrese Haliburton was in a really big way. And that's why this thing's a positive. But to your overall point, Michael, when you look at what Tyrese Haliburton can be, he can be, I think, like one of the faces of the NBA once we get to this generation's time to kind of take over. And you look at his numbers, he improves the Pacers' net rating at an astronomical rate when he's on the floor. He improves their offense. He is one of the better players of his generation. I think as we move along, we're going to see that the Indiana Pacers were dead on in trying to acquire him and getting him, because he is going to be absolutely awesome. And by the way, it does accelerate their timeline a bit. Like, there's already reports that the Pacers are looking to ship off some assets to add a big time wing player with Tyrese Haliburton so that they can actually get a little bit better here in the Eastern Conference.
Yeah, no, it's definitely been intriguing here. We're hanging out with Jonathan Von Tobel, host of the Hardwood Handicappers podcast, also our VSiN senior NBA analyst. Check him out with Pam Maldonado coming up noon to 3 Eastern, Live Bet Saturday, as they'll break down this game. I'm sure there's many other NBA topics as well. So when you talk about this game tonight here, Pacers at the Lakers, right now the betting market, Lakers 4-point favorites. The total is at 243. Any interest here, side total or otherwise? What's your breakdown of this game later on this evening?
Yeah, so my interest is in the total. So my thing coming into this whole entire knockout stage of the in-season tournament has been betting unders, and through 6 games you're 4-2 to the under. And part of my logic was I think that these do become somewhat playoff-esque, right? Pace starts to slow down a little bit, defensive intensity starts to pick up, especially if we're talking about tight games in the fourth quarter, that's going to be something that transpires. Now we are in a unique setting where 4-2 I don't think really paints the whole picture for the unders. For example, Indiana's first game, the market just got way too high, right? 257.5, actually circa close to 58.5. You're getting a little ridiculous there. But the theme, Femi, throughout this entire deal has been odds makers have distinctly planted their flag on, we think these totals should be shaded a little bit lower. And the market has distinctly said, no, we are betting these things up. And you are seeing it again here today with this game between these two. Saw an opener at some spots of 237.5 on the overnight. We are up to 243, but I think we're betting these under. The Lakers are a good defensive team. They're a good transition defensive team. They're good on the interior. They're not going to give up much there, and they're going to be willing to run at times, but they're also going to be willing to slow this thing down. And once this gets tight, which the spread would tell you probably is, right, only a 4-point spread, that this thing will really start to tight down. So I think under 243, right, it's treated us well up to this point so far. Again, 4-2 to the under through 6 games in the knockout stage. I think under is a play here once again.
How about the Lakers going forward? Can we expect LeBron to play at this pace for the up until we get into May and continue at this level of excellence?
Michael, the question is, I think this level is something we can expect. The question is, how often is he going to be available, right? Like, that's, I'm amazed to see, because every single night, what the Lakers are doing, if you don't track every single night, a nightly occurrence is LeBron James is listed as questionable in the injury report. He has played in every game but one. So the Lakers are always leaving the door open to potentially give him some rest. But when you look at the on-court, off-court numbers, they have about a negative 12 net rating when he is off the floor. That's abysmal. For those who don't know, they get outscored by about 12 points every 100 possessions without LeBron James on the floor. It's one of the worst ones you can have out there amongst qualified lineups. So, Michael, I think that when he's on the floor, he's going to be able to do this. My question is just, at what point do we start to see him potentially either take some rest days or miss time due to injury? We have seen it each of the last two seasons, and it's just kind of, I think, par for the course of the guy of his age to do that. And if he does miss some time, then does the record suffer? Do they start to slide down the standings? And then ultimately, are you a team that finishes around the sixth seed or so? I think if you're to tell me now, he plays a vast majority of games outside of just some rest here and there. This is a top three seed, I think, in the Western Conference only because LeBron is there, but I don't think we can guarantee that.
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy what LeBron is doing. About to turn 39 later on this month. He's still the best player on that team there. Lakers right now 15-1 to win the NBA title. The Pacers 150-1. But I want to talk about a team right now that's at 25-1 over at DraftKings. The Minnesota Timberwolves right now, JVT, best record, not just in the West, but in the entire NBA, sitting at 17-4, had another big defensive performance last night there. Uh-huh. Is this just a regular season juggernaut, or do the Timberwolves have real title contending traits that you see when you watch them play?
Oh, I think they've got some real traits to be able to compete for the Western Conference. First off, they are the lone team, I think, that matches up the best with the Denver Nuggets. When you look at the way that this roster is built with Karl-Anthony Towns and Rudy Gobert on the interior to match up with that front court that the Nuggets have, both from a rebounding and offensive standpoint, right? Rudy Gobert can actually hold up his own against this team. They are good along the perimeter defensively as well to take out some of those perimeter pieces, right? Like a Jamal Murray, like Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, like Michael Porter Jr. And their bench is better, I think, too. So when you look at a matchup against Denver, I do think they match up really well. And defensively, they are the absolute real deal. So I wrote about this yesterday. I bet the Grizzlies team total under yesterday. 104.5, ended at 103. It was a sweat. But one of the things that he noted in that column was they had at that time a lead over Boston for the best non-garbage time defensive rating by 2.2. After last night, that's up to nearly 3 points. It's now 2.5. They are by far the best defensive team in the NBA, and that's not going anywhere. The real question is, can you start to fix what's going on with your offense? By the way, I say fix it, they're 13th in non-garbage time offensive efficiency. So this is a team that is slowly getting better on that end. Great stat that came out of Minnesota yesterday as part of the write-up, you know, after their game is, last year, guys, they were 7-13 against teams with losing records. This year, they're 7-0. They're starting to take care of business against the teams that they need to. I think this is legitimately one of the best teams of the Western Conference. Like a month ago on the podcast, we slugged ourselves at Minnesota Timberwolves podcast on our Harvard Handicappers. We loaded up. I got them at 30-1 to win the Western Conference. I got Anthony Edwards win MVP. I don't think to get there yet, but I think this team is definitely a contender in the Western Conference.
And the Thunder are way ahead of schedule too, JVT. Yep. Talk to us about how they match up.
Yeah, Michael, I think the one question is, like, you saw it last night, right? The Golden State Warriors come in. They're 1-9-1 against the spread at home. They're kind of ugh on offense. They needed to come back against Portland the other night just to get that win. And then yesterday, you have to go to overtime with Golden State, and you end up not covering on a pretty tough beat, we'll say, on a bucket that goes in with no time left on the clock to get it with inside 2.5. But I think when you look at this team overall, the real question is, how legitimately good are they defensively? And while a guy like Holmgren has been very good as a rim protector and has helped them out in that end, and right now I think they're an eighth in terms of non-garbage time defensive efficiency, they get crushed on the glass. They are 30th in defensive rebounding rate. And some of these teams that have legitimate size and rebounding prowess, that is going to give them some problems because they can give up second chance points. They get snuffed out on first possessions, right? It's one and done a lot of the times. And if you're not going to be able to dominate the glass like teams like Denver, like Minnesota, and like some others, Lakers could do to you, I think that's ultimately what leads to their downfall. I think they're still a little bit away, but this is still one of the better teams in the Western Conference. They should solidly be inside of the top six for sure.
I mean, they got out-rebounded 60-39 last night and won the game.
Yep.
it's crazy. Shout out Chet Holmgren, who's played well on the defensive end of the floor as well. We got a little bit of time left here. Michael Sixers. Should we be optimistic, Michael, come playoff time? Or
no,
is this just...
For the record, just so everybody knows, they were offered 2 number 1s and Halliburton for Ben Simmons, and it was turned down.
Michael's going to love this.
For the record.
It's a great number at this point right now. Michael, I got him at 27-1 to win the NBA Finals. Let's go. I think I think they are solidly the second best team in the Eastern Conference, and there's a shot that they match up well and could beat Boston. Let's go. Come on. It's this year. Now, this might be the fourth straight year that I bet them to win the finals, but it's okay. Let's go.
10-9-8-76er. Let's do it, Michael. That does it for the Lombardi Line. Live bet Saturday with Jonathan Von Tobel and Pam Maldonado. Coming up next year on VSiN on the DraftKings Networks, Dan Le Batard, South Beach Sessions. We'll see you guys tomorrow.